Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Coaching for Performance 6th Edition is a practical leadership and coaching manual rooted in Sir John Whitmore pioneering work on performance coaching and the GRO model. This revised edition, developed with Tiffany Gaskell, updates a text first published in 1992 for contemporary workplaces shaped by hybrid work, rapid change, and demands for more responsible forms of leadership. The book belongs to the management, coaching, and organizational development fields, but its purpose is broader than teaching techniques for formal coaching sessions. It argues that coaching is a way of leading that increases awareness, responsibility, and self-directed action in the person being coached. Rather than treating performance as the result of instruction or pressure, Whitmore frames it as the release of potential through skilled questioning, attentive listening, clear goals, and accountable follow-through. Its central value is the translation of a humanistic view of people into a simple conversational structure that managers, coaches, and teams can actually use. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the GRO model structures coaching as a disciplined conversation. The best-known contribution of coaching for performance is the GRO model, a sequence built around goal, reality, options, and will. Its usefulness lies in making coaching both accessible and disciplined. The goal stage prevents the conversation from becoming vague by clarifying what the person wants to achieve and what a useful outcome would look like. Reality then grounds the discussion in facts, perceptions, obstacles, and current behavior, reducing the risk of premature advice. Options widens the field before action is chosen, encouraging the coachee to generate alternatives rather than accept the first obvious solution. Will converts insight into commitment by asking what action will be taken, when, and with what level of resolve. The model is not presented as a mechanical script. Its value depends on the coach using it with curiosity, patience, and respect for the autonomy of the other person. This is why the model has remained influential across business, sport, and personal development. It offers enough structure for consistency without removing the judgment and responsiveness needed in a real conversation. Secondly, awareness and responsibility replace instruction as the engine of performance. A central argument of the book is that sustainable performance improves when people become more aware of their situation and take responsibility for their choices. Whitmore distinguishes coaching from telling, advising, or directing. When a manager supplies the answer, the other person may comply, but ownership often remains with the manager. When a coach asks precise questions, the coachee has to observe, interpret, decide, and commit. That process strengthens attention and personal agency. Awareness matters because people can only change what they can notice. Responsibility matters because action is more durable when it is chosen rather than imposed. This view challenges traditional management assumptions based on control, reward, and correction. It does not mean abandoning standards or accountability. Instead, it changes the route to accountability by making the person more directly involved in diagnosing the issue and selecting the next step. The book repeatedly links this process to performance because self-generated insight is more likely to create learning, adaptability, and motivation. Coaching, therefore, becomes a method for developing capability, not merely solving the immediate problem in front of the manager. Thirdly, coaching leadership shifts authority from command to facilitation. Coaching for performance reframes leadership as the creation of conditions in which others can think, learn, and act effectively. This differs from a command and control model where the leader is expected to diagnose problems and issue directions. Whitmore does not deny that leaders sometimes need to decide, instruct, or intervene. The book instead argues that over-reliance on directive behavior can limit initiative and reduce engagement. A coaching leader uses questions, listening, and clear expectations to help team members develop judgment. This has practical implications for organizations because it distributes problem-solving rather than concentrating it at the top. It also changes the quality of workplace relationships. Trust becomes operationally important, not merely desirable, because people speak more honestly about reality when they do not feel judged or controlled. The 6th edition places this leadership approach in a modern context where teams often face uncertainty, remote collaboration, and rapid change. In such settings, leaders cannot monitor every decision. Coaching is presented as a way to build responsibility and adaptability into the daily work of teams, rather than as a separate development activity. Fourthly, effective coaching depends on listening, emotional intelligence, and question quality. The book makes clear that the GRO model alone is insufficient without the interpersonal skills that give it life. A coach must listen for meaning, emotion, assumptions, and hesitation, not only for factual content. This kind of listening is demanding because it requires the coach to suspend the impulse to solve the problem too quickly. Emotional intelligence is therefore treated as a practical competence. The coach needs enough self-awareness to notice impatience, judgment, or the desire to display expertise. The coach also needs social awareness to sense whether the coachee feels safe enough to reflect honestly. Question quality is equally important. Effective questions are open enough to invite thinking but specific enough to move the conversation forward. They help the coachee examine goals, test perceptions, explore alternatives, and identify commitment. Poor questions can become disguised advice or interrogation. Whitmore approach places responsibility on the coach to create a non-judgmental yet purposeful dialogue. This combination of empathy and rigor explains why the book is used by both professional coaches and managers. It treats coaching as a learnable practice, but not as a checklist. Lastly, the revised edition connects coaching to purpose, culture, and long-term performance. The sixth edition extends the classic coaching framework beyond individual performance conversations. It reflects a broader understanding of work, in which people seek purpose, organizations need adaptive cultures, and performance cannot be separated from long-term consequences. Earlier editions were already concerned with potential, self-awareness, and responsibility. But the revised edition places these ideas in relation to current organizational challenges. Coaching is not limited to private one-to-one sessions between a manager and an employee. It can shape team dialogue, leadership habits, and the norms by which decisions are made. The book also links coaching with more sustainable performance, meaning performance that is not achieved by exhaustion, fear, or short-term pressure. This is an important development because many leadership books offer either personal development language or organizational performance language. While Whitmore framework tries to connect the two, the practical challenge is that a coaching culture cannot be created by adopting terminology alone. It requires repeated behavior, senior leadership support, and patience while managers learn to ask rather than tell. The edition is valuable because it treats coaching as a cultural capability rather than a narrow technique. In conclusion, Coaching for Performance 6th Edition is most useful for managers, team leaders, HR professionals, executive coaches, and students of leadership who want a practical method for improving conversations about goals, accountability, and development. It is also relevant for individuals interested in self-coaching because the GROW sequence can be applied to personal decisions as well as workplace performance. The main benefit is not a collection of complex tools, but a clear way to think about how people learn and take ownership. Readers gain a vocabulary for distinguishing coaching from instruction, mentoring, therapy, or performance management. And they gain a conversational structure that can be practiced immediately. The book stands out in the coaching and leadership category because it combines a simple framework with a deeper theory of human potential, awareness, and responsibility. Many coaching books either stay at the level of inspiration or become overly technical. Whitmore work occupies a middle ground, making it accessible without reducing coaching to a formula. Its long influence also matters. The GROW model has become part of mainstream leadership development. So reading this book gives readers access to one of the foundations behind much contemporary coaching practice. The sixth edition adds relevance for modern organizational life while preserving the core ideas that made the book influential. If you would like to support Sir John Whitmore, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.